This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 136. The Triforce of Suckitude.
This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to another episode of the ESH podcast, folks.
Let the Esh be with you.
And also with you. We lift up our game console.
Wow.
You lift
that
them
was
up
pretty bad. Heard. Ugh.
And now we
religion.
Give praise. It is only Esh. Right to give thanks and praise.
I will give praise to myself every motherfucking day.
Power on.
Party on. Party on, ninja.
No, I said power on, silly. Oh. But party on, dude. Extreme close-up. Whoa.
Whoa.
And this is the reason why we don't do video yet.
I would have way too much fun with that.
We would have way too much fun with that in general.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what else we have fun with?
Ourselves.
I was going to go with the website at I'm just letting it go. I'm not even acknowledging it, people. I'm moving forward. You got to keep visiting us at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or if you want to use the short address, you can go to
esh.mobi. That's E. SH.MOBI. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can use the hit us up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can catch episodes of the ESH podcast as well as some other really entertaining shows found at allgames.com. Our show actually airs Monday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can listen to our show there, as well as shows like Super Happy Fun Time Show,
Dead Pixel Live,
Ultimate Quest, Fantastic Forum,
Evil Avatar, Video Game Outsiders, Bobby Blackwolf Show, and Friday Night Gaming.
There's all kinds of really great entertainment over there, plus us. So head over, and if you listen to anybody else, let them know that the chicks from Electric Sisterhood sent you. We always like getting credit for introducing people. We're like matchmakers.
Yes.
Except we don't make any money.
And we don't make people fall in love.
No. But other than that,
we might.
We're just like, I don't know. I could be an instrument of helping people to love. I could.
I hope people love me. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm not that narcissistic.
Yes, she is, actually.
Okay. No, I'm not. Oh, my God. I'm totally not like that.
Anyway, moving on. I know. Why am I so catty today? Don't know.
I don't know.
But here's
I'm not fucking Watchmen, dude. You have nothing to be catty about.
This is true. All right, so let me be generous. I'll be generous. So there's actually an auction going on right now, and we have a link to it right off of the homepage of the ESH website, and we hope that you'll take a look. And if you have a little money in your pockets, that you'll actually join in on the auction. The guys over at the Techno Podcast have actually been working with Epic, and they put together what I think is probably one of the more nicer auctions that any independent podcasters put on in a little while. Basically, what they've done is they've teamed up with Epic. They got all of the major developers from Epic to sign a one-of-a-kind Xbox, and they're actually editing it right, auctioning it off right now over at eBay for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. All the proceeds will actually be donated, which I think is really cool. If you're not familiar with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, they basically help kids that have terminal diseases get their, I don't want to say final wish, but probably one of the last ones, to come true. And it's all based on charitable donations and things like that. So what they've done, and the auction will end on the 12th, is they've got this really nice Xbox 360 Pro console with a 20 gig hard drive. It's going to come with a copy of Gears of War 2, three months of Xbox Live Gold, and it's been signed by Cliffy B., Dave Ewing, Rod Ferguson, Joe Graff, Dave Nash, Chris Perna, Lee Perry, Alan Willard, and I just think that it's a really good thing that if you have any extra dough, definitely take a look at it. The auction started with the Xbox going for $250. It's already up to $455, which basically puts it on the level of an Elite. But like I said, it's been signed by all of these guys, and the money goes to a great cause. So if you would like to, one, get a new Xbox, because, you know, I know there's some people that have had some Red Ring issues or laser issues that aren't covered by the warranty. So do a little good, get you a new Xbox, help a kid out. I think it's pretty much a win-win-win situation there. I don't see any bad. So, like I said, I'll put a link to the auction in the post for this episode of the podcast, which you can check out on our website. But we will be having the ad for the auction link in the banner space up until the auction ends on the 12th. So definitely take advantage and check it out. So other than that, do we have anything in the audience mailbox, Panda?
Actually, we do have one mail from one of our, you know, hardcore, been there since the very beginning, fans, Ariel, who's made an amazing transition into the community. I like see her every day. She had a dream about me, which, I mean, normally, yes, I'd find kind of awkward, but it was actually kind of cool.
Okay.
Like, just to paraphrase Ninja, she was like hanging out with us, and apparently we were like out in like this jungle-esque thing, I think. And
In the jungle, first of all, no, but please continue.
And we were like hanging out like a resort-y type of thing, I think she was talking about, and we were looking for our Mic of a Thousand Truths, which Apple Box from VPL stole.
This is a very deep dream.
And she was helping us try to find it.
Aw, that's so sweet!
Isn't it, though?
I never lose the Mic of a Thousand Truths.
See, I would, but apparently...
That's why you're not the keeper of the mic.
Yeah.
I am the keeper of the mic.
Anyway, so we're looking for it, and I think some other odd things were happening, not that I full-on remember it now, but it was, like, on a book or something in this place.
Okay.
So it was, like, mislaid, but it wasn't, like, stolen. Like, I think Alpha Box took it and then put it down and, didn't steal it. But it was just very awkward that she had a dream about us. But apparently, it was really fun. And anyway, getting to her question, like, I guess I'll just read the whole mail out.
On a tangent, but now we're back.
Now we're back. So here's how her comment goes. Hi, guys. Me and my friends were talking at lunch about Kingdom Hearts, and we got on the subject about making them a movie. Like, making a movie. Mm-hmm. Who would you like to see cast in it? She's saying she'd like to see some new actors that we've never seen before, or at least get some guy, the guy who plays, I think she said Jacob Black from The New Moon to play as Axel, and whoever plays Xemnas, you know, would have to be really hot. But my pick for Sora, Riku, and Kairi would all be, like, young, fresh teens. So she's asking us who we'd like to see play these characters if they went into a movie. One, I don't know if I want them to touch Kingdom Hearts, only because it's a very confounded, confuzzled piece of goodness. and for them to do it the way that, you know, I'd want to see it done, they'd be doing it up the butt with no lube, and something would go horribly wrong, and they would have to change the story. And I've never been a big fan of too many conversions from, you know, video games to movies. I mean, it's kind of one of those ongoing themes that we have here at Ash to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there are too many fresh faces. Like, I mean, I guess for Kyrie, I think the girl I'm thinking about is the girl who played Nancy Drew in the new remake, who I think is actually, like, the daughter of, like, Julia Roberts. I think she's related to Julia Roberts.
I don't know. This is a age demographic that I don't really pay much attention to. I pretty much stopped paying attention to that whole Disney preteen teen crowd, which is who you'd be looking at, really, to do this movie justice.
Yeah.
I kind of disagree with you on one piece. I think that Kingdom Hearts actually has the best story for becoming not a movie, but a movie trilogy. I think it has the best potential. Now, I don't think that they would do it right, but it has the best potential.
See, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I mean, the first movie, okay. Then they'd have to go, okay, well, now you know what happened. Now we have to
Who said we had to do it in the order that the games came out? If you do it in the order that the games come out, you do it kind of Memento-like. And Memento was great.
Well, minus the fact that, you know, Sora doesn't have tattoos and doesn't lose his memory every freaking time he goes to sleep.
Right. But you could do it that way. You've got action. You've got love stories. You've got older generation versus younger generation.
See, I don't know.
You've got a lot of different plot twists and turns, which means you have a lot of fodder for more than one movie. The problem is they wouldn't do it right. It would suck.
No, they would fuck it.
Right. I'm not saying that it would be done right. Well,
pies in their faces.
I'm just saying that it has the potential for being done as a movie. Out of all the video games that we have right now, it has the biggest depth of story, breadth of characters.
But would you want them to take a more realistic approach? Because, I mean, come on, the puffy pants and the puffy, you know, the costumes, would you want them to stay, you know, true to the design? Or would you want them to make it kind of
why not
realistic?
Why not do it completely over the top as fanciful? I mean, Stardust, De Niro was wearing some costumes that really, really, would you put De Niro in?
Well, for freaking Shakespeare, he should have to.
Here's the thing. If you got characters that really delivered, the costumes wouldn't matter.
All right.
Period pieces are nothing but costume flair, but it's the actors in the role that make you overlook the costume and see past it to see the character. When they fail is when you have an actor that can't do that, and so now you just focus on the visual and how ridiculous it actually is.
Just my thinking. I wouldn't say ridiculous, but I mean, I don't know.
Victorian-era period pieces, if you don't have good actors in the roles, then it's nothing but corsets and petticoats, and there's nothing more ridiculous than watching a woman who can't walk with a petticoat in a petticoat.
You're right.
Just throwing that out there. Then you've got your dandies with their bad wigs and their fake moles. And their bucket pants, poofy pants. Which are basically the pants that Sora's pants are modeled after. Except because Sora's a kid, they fall a little bit lower. But those are just Victorian pantaloons.
Okay.
Just saying. Right. I'm just saying.
Well, so
I am the yin to your yang. That's all.
All right.
So
she's saying yes. I'm saying no.
No. Don't misquote me. Don't misquote me. I'm not saying yes. I'm saying that it has the potential.
Potential to
be a movie. It shouldn't.
Maybe, but no, because they would fuck it.
Right. Now, as far as who I would cast in it, if they had done this 2 years ago, I would have said hands down that Haley Joel Osment should have been Sora.
No way. Wait.
Yes.
Who?
Sora.
No!
The Sixth Sense kid?
No. He's not a kid anymore. He's like.
That's why I said if
now.
We had done this years ago. Do you listen to me when I speak?
No.
You should. Because no. I said, I started the statement out.
No.
Stop it. I started the statement out. If we had done this years ago.
Right.
I would have said, without a doubt, Haley Joel Osment. And I don't care what you think, when he was a kid, he was the perfect Sora. Right voice, right look in the face.
Well, he did the audio for him in the game.
And do you think that that was done not on purpose?
Well, they should have thought about
That would have been the time to have done the movie, in all honesty. Because then you would have had a Sora that there wouldn't have been that disassociation when in the movie Sora had a different sounding voice than what you came to know. But they missed the boat on that. As far as casting the other characters around that time, I don't think that you really had a whole lot of leading younger actors that really could have done it over here in the States. You would have had to pull from some of the young actors in France, I think, in all honesty. Because we really didn't have a lot of... Well, there were a couple. The names escape me right now. But I don't really think that right now we have a current group of young kids that could play the young group. Now, as far as moving into the older groups, I don't even know that you have anybody there either. I think the boat's been really missed because, I mean, it would have been great to have had, at the time that they were kids, you know, a Hayden Panettiere as an option for some characters, Haley as an option for a character, even, and I can't believe that I'm about to say this, and I have to kind of swallow some of my vomit down a little bit, but some of those Disney kids that they've put into, well, not The Suite Life, but what's that big musical there that the young kids...
What?
No, that the young kids there, like, with the whole high school musical.
The High School Musical?
Are you
talking Zac Efron?
Oh, yeah, what? That kid.
Actually, you know, with the long, like,
white hair. Yep. See where I'm going with that? But I think the boat's been kind of missed on that. So I hope that, to God, that they decide not to do anything like that.
I'm actually feeling the bile rise up in my throat.
No, I think their best option right now for a Kingdom Hearts movie would have to be a CGI. If they were going to do it.
You mean like the Advent Children?
Right.
Yeah, I could see that. But I mean, I don't even know if they could really go into that because everyone's anticipating, or I shouldn't say everybody, because since the Kingdom Hearts game that everybody wants to play is going to be for a fucking phone, the one we all want to play is only on a phone. God forbid they put it on a fucking console. So
which one would that be? Just in case there's some of us that don't know what the hell you're talking about.
It's supposed to be the next game, and I don't even remember what the... I don't even think they have an actual working title for it yet, but it's actually a prequel to the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
So, it doesn't even go into Sora and Riku and Kairi. It's like, you know how this was only be one Keyblade? Mm-hmm. Which, obviously, it broke the story because, you know, if that was the case, one, Mickey wouldn't have had one in the first game, and the only one would have been the one that Sora had. So apparently that whole one Keyblade thing is an utter lie. But apparently way, way, way back in the day, there was this giant Keyblade war. Everybody had a Keyblade.
It was like lightsabers with the Jedi.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody just had one. This is monstrous war, and everyone was fighting, and I don't even know what people were fighting for, because they really haven't gotten into that yet. But they've showed some really cool scenes with some old, like, Zen-looking guy kicking some ass. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, one of the guys that you see this old guy fighting looks like Roxas, which, as we all know, Roxas was the nobody of Sora. So it's kind of going, but, huh?
Okay.
Like, what?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. But it's the one that we all want to watch because it's supposed to make sense of the stuff that wasn't, you know, made clear in game one and or game two.
What if it was a complete mindfuck and maybe Sora is Roxas's nobody?
They won't do that.
Why not? St. Elsewhere ended as a daydream of an autistic kid.
Wait, why going into autism for?
I'm just saying that the twist stuff, it's not a new idea. It's been done before. And you can't have somebody's nobody before them. So if he is before them, and that is in fact Roxas, There's got to be a twist someplace in the line.
They can't do that because Sora is the main character. They've pushed him as the main character. They cannot go and say, oh, by the way, he's not the main character.
No. He can totally be the main character.
As a nobody, he could not because obviously...
Why not?
Eventually had to be, because if that's the case, Roxas would
time
absorb
out, time out, time soul. Out. Wait, time out.
In the
time out. Why couldn't the main focus of a game series actually be the flip side to another character? Why does the story always have to be told from the absolute hero's point of view? Why can't it be told from the flip side? I'm just saying, why not? As far as enjoying the
story, there'd be a lot of people upset.
Wait, as far as enjoying the story, okay, fine, but you know what? People get over that. But that would be a unique twist on telling the story. Every game that we've played, it's always from the hero's point of view. Even if you play a game where you get to play the bad guy, it's only after you finish the hero's quest.
I know.
So why not? Why not start a game off? I mean, as it starts, everything in Kingdom Heroes starts as a phase anyway, and Sora's sitting there going, you know, I feel so out of place, and things aren't right, and his home life isn't really a home life. I mean,
know what Sora's home life is. You never see his parents. You just
That's
see his
right.
room.
That's right. You never see his parents. You just see him in a room.
You never see Roxas' parents either.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I just have a hard time thinking that could even... That could be the case, because if that had been the case, in 2, when Sora got awakened from the glass artichoke of sleepiness... Which I still don't understand this motherfucking day. Then
the
Roxas,
glass artichoke of sleepiness?
Yeah, because if you didn't play Chain of Memories, which actually was told more or less from... I mean, granted, there was still an aspect of Sora in that game, but a lot of the stuff that you learned the backstory from came from Riku. So actually, the point of view did shift in the little transition game between the two big games. But in the game 2, when Sora finally awakens from the glass artichoke, Roxas would not have been absorbed into Sora. Sora would have been absorbed into Roxas. So the fact there's no way they can go back...
We don't know that the glass artichoke of sleepiness isn't what made that happen. There's nothing to say that...
It was the nobody of Kairi.
Uh-huh. Or the other way around. What if she decided that Sora was a better presence or a bigger presence?
I don't know.
It the other way. If Naminé had the power to put him to sleep and watch over...
She was a witch because nobody of a princess is a witch, apparently. That makes no sense to me neither.
What I'm saying is, first of all, the whole series doesn't make any damn sense. Ariel, thanks for the question. We've got other stuff to go on to. We could spend a whole hour just on Kingdom Hearts stuff because there are so many loopholes, so many different places you could take the story if you just stretch your imagination. Don't forget, this is Square Enix.
Square Enix.
They will twist things around to make you go, Quoi est la fuck?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Or,
he's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Ariel, for the question. Sorry that we kind of ear-raped it.
We didn't ear-rape it. It's a mighty fine drink. Okay. So, on to...
Moving on with a furious pace and fire in our heart.
That sounded like something different. Okay, I'm moving on. So, I've got a little bit of stuff to talk about. We were asked a question... And I thought that we had answered it completely, but just to be on the final, the Resident Evil game is getting ready to release in April. Where do I stand as a black woman who is a gamer on the whole shooting of the black zombies? I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to try to say it as clear as possible.
Do you want my bullhorn?
No, I don't need the bullhorn. I'm just going to speak normally. The game is based in Africa. I would be much more upset if there was only one black zombie in a group of 20 than, conversely, one white zombie in a group of 20. If you base a game in Africa, I should sure hope that there are black people. Do I think that it was racist to say that Umbrella infected Africa? No. They've been kind of infecting the entire fucking planet. It's just about time that we finally got to that continent.
Yep.
I do not think that the Resident Evil game is racist. I will probably not buy it, but it's just because I'm not a huge RE fan.
I'm gonna buy it.
But if I was an RE fan, please believe me, I would have already pre-ordered it. Capcom, if you want to send me a copy so I will play it, I'll be more than happy to take it.
Yeah, me too.
But I...
be more than happy because I'll actually play it.
As a black woman, do not find it to be racist.
Yeah, neither do I. And I'm black too.
Moving on.
Well, actually, Capcom went, I shouldn't say they went out of their way to try to, you know, damage control. Because initially, and this is all speculation, I could be completely wrong, but there's at my table at school, we have round tables about this game, like, every freaking day. And I'm actually kind of getting sick of talking about it a little bit. But apparently, the original way the lineup was supposed to be, I mean, you're not a big RE fan, but Chris Redfield has kind of been in a majority of the games.
Mm-hmm.
And in the earlier games, he kind of had a partner named Jill. And they were kind of like, yeah, we're partners and we're partners. Like, there's always been that unspoken thing.
Right.
And originally, in RE5, or at least what we thought was the initial pull, was that it was supposed to be another Chris and Jill game. Because a lot of people have a lot of respect for Jill, because in Resident Evil 3, where it's you versus Nemesis, you play as Jill, and you really have no help. So Jill gets so much respect from the gaming community because she fought a whole city by herself, which is, in fact, really fucking cool.
Right.
But they thought it was going to be another Chris and Jill game. And then when the whole speculation of racism and white mowing down blacks... Now, this is just our theory, that they went and switched around the order and put in a new his new co-partner, whatever, who happens to be a black woman by the name of Sheva. She's actually really hot. And if I were just a little thinner, I would cosplay as a bitch. And I'm speculating at this year's Anime Boston that there's going to be a lot of Shevas.
So, here's my thing on that. I don't think that Capcom changed their character design in order to downplay any kind of racism thing. Just because it takes too long, really, to change a character around so completely. Because she does play differently than Jill.
Well, yeah. But the fact that they make Jill a bad guy in this game.
Well,
I... Because they plugged her, they put her in this game, obviously, because, you know, everyone's banking on the Jill thing. But yeah, and fucking Wesker sucks.
Wesker always sucks. Wesker will always suck.
I hate Wesker. I hate him with vengeance. I want
we know.
Him more.
Right.
In the
But my whole thing is, there are so many games out there that are so much worse than this game, that display so much more
images, racism,
not even sexism. Racism, but sexism, images of just ridiculous violence everyone harping on this, oh my god, there's nothing but black zombies, we're just shooting black people. Oh, hey, it must be that this company is racist.
Hey, no. The Latinos and the Hispanics weren't getting Pepsi with 4.
Look, here's the thing. You know,
Resident Evil 6 should be in Asia. We should kill Asian zombies.
You gotta hate everybody,
and
right?
And then Australian zombies in 7.
Oh, yeah. The Aussies love it. No, seriously. I mean, if they came out with a game that had, like, a bunch of white people in blackface, and then black people eating chicken, and you had to identify the actual true black people versus the white people in blackface and shoot them, I would say, oh my god, that game is really racist.
And they'd have to call it Vaudeville Express.
Okay? And no, they would have to call it Negro Panic 2. Okay? But that would be a racist game. This is not a racist game. Let it go, people. Grow up.
He's like, I shoot Whitey 7. That might have some...
Kill Whitey Dead 4. A new breed.
Like, there were three before it that made it past the censor.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit.
But Kill Whitey Dead 4, that was the one where they took notice.
Yep. It's like, Those first weren't so bad.
Yeah, the first three weren't really bad.
They were pixelated, but then when they finally get CG and they, it's like...
But now you're talking about three-dimension white people killing, and we just can't stand for that.
Nope, we cannot.
So anyway, let it go.
Save Whitey.
All right, news around the horn.
Around the horn.
Thank God for the internet and letting people say whatever the hell it is that you want to say.
Yeah, because there's...
All right, moving around. News around the horn. If you don't know, now you can say you do. Infamous on the PS3 has a sort of kind of ship date. Now they have been touting around Infamous, showboating it, highlighting it for a couple of years now. And if you imagine kind of the darkness without being quite so dark, then it kind of gives you Infamous. So in Infamous, you actually are quasi non-destructible. But it is a almost nearly completely open environment game. One of the demos that I saw when I was at PAX actually had the lead character riding on top of a subway around town and then jumping off of it and doing some acrobatics off of a lamp post and then to the ground and then siphoning power from some places to attack other people, so kind of like being a conduit for electricity. And the visuals look stunning. The movement was all liquid. But I really didn't get a feel, because they weren't doing hands-on in Infamous at the time, for really what the objective was in the game. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, I'm hoping that it's really fun, especially because it's made by the Sucker Punch production guys, who this is their first game on the PS3, and you may remember them as from such hits as Sly Cooper.
I like Sly Cooper.
Yeah, so this is kind of really different because it's not cel shaded. It's you know, full on action, human being, gritty environment, dark city, definitely kind of Gotham overtones in it that they're trying to do. And so I'm really curious to see how this actually plays out. But like I said, looks like it's going to go worldwide release in June. So definitely going to have some fun stuff to look forward to in the summer, because just from what I've seen, I was really impressed by Infamous. And it takes a lot for me to say that I'm very impressed by something on any console. But the fact that this is one that's on the PS3, it's probably going to make me dust off my PS3, much like Little Big Planet did for me for a long time. So I'm excited to see what happens with Infamous. Supposedly there will be a downloadable demo that's going to hit the PSN network. Look for it, try it out, and we'll talk about it when the demo actually hits. So that's one news bit. Another news bit. I'm already told my boss at the day job that I'm taking 9909 off. Now, Panda, go ahead and ask me why.
Well, wait, that's September 9 of 09.
Yeah.
What's coming?
The Beatles rock band. 9909. Now, I want you guys to be prepared, because you are going to be just deluged with games of the music variety from summer through fall. There's about four games that Activision's going to release, like, nearly within a four-month period of each other. There's the Van Halen Guitar Hero game. Then there's Band Hero, which we don't even know what that's supposed to be. I don't know if they're talking, like, Marching Band Hero or what. There's DJ Hero.
That's going to be fucking sweet.
You can get your Wicca 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 on. And then there's going to be Guitar Hero 5. And they're all going to release within 4 months of each other. And then in the mix of that is going to be the Beatles Hero. Oh, dude, I would fucking rock Accordion Hero like you don't even know. Don't even joke.
Kazoo Hero.
I am the Kazoo Hero. Mandolin Hero, not so much. But Kazoo Hero, I'm on it. Triangle Hero, bitch, you can't even hold a candle to my triangle.
Didgeridoo Hero.
Didgeridoo Hero?
That's from the Aussie.
That would not... Okay.
Crikey! I'm just kidding.
That's not right. The Beatles game, again, hits $9,909. It's going to be $250 with instruments. Now, the thing about that is, supposedly they're getting some branded instruments. So, you know, Paul's weird bass, the left-handery dealy. Probably some Ludwig, hopefully, branded drums. Because the drum kit kind of needs some help right now. It needs some design work. And, well, if I compare the Rock Band drum kit to the Guitar Hero one for World Tour, I much prefer the layout of the Rock Band one. It kind of needs some style going on. So
some style.
I would welcome that. And then there will be some, just like with Rock Band, down the road, some releases with the game and just the guitar or game and alone. But what's really interesting to me is the things that I've read, and the best one that I saw, the most in-depth one that I saw, was actually on Kotaku.com, was that when all's said and done, the deal that Harmonix has with AppleCore is for access to 300 Beatles songs.
300.
Yeah, the game's going to release on all platforms at the same time. It's going to be $59.99 on all of them. And yes, that does include the Wii one. So this will be one of the few titles that's actually going to launch on the Wii at the $59 price point, not the $49 price point. And I don't see that changing, because both MTV Games and the Beatles want to make money. But it's going to have access to over 300 songs. This is huge, because some of the songs that they've already mentioned are going to be Here Comes the Sun, I Feel Fine, Helter Skelter, and Octopus's Garden, which I'm like, hell yeah, already ready to play. I am so guitaring on Helter Skelter, you have like no idea.
Helter Skelter.
Big time, big time. Don't sing it too much, because then we have to pay a royalty. But
okay, that's what I'm saying.
Cool beans. The fact that the game will probably launch with only maybe 30 or 50 of the titles, and then the rest is going to be DLC, that means that they could open up to so much more down the road. I'm really excited about where the music sim genre is going.
Of course, you've always been a big fan of rhythm and game music.
Big time, but you know, you see the back and forth going out. Now you have bands that are releasing songs first through games before they get released anyplace else, and how some bands that were kind of obscure are now getting major deals and being brought into the limelight because of games, and I just find that to be really interesting.
Yeah,
maybe it's just me. I find that to be really interesting and very exciting.
You're not the only one.
I mean, there are so many bands that I am now just discovering because of playing some of these games.
Like, I'm not like ashamed which to say it.
Well, like Coheed and Cambria.
You didn't know about them before?
I didn't know about them before. You gotta remember, I was out of college.
That's right.
So I wasn't listening to college rock radio.
Neither am I, and I knew them. But
you know, Knights of Sidonia. Okay, that was another one that I didn't know about. And I am in love with them now. And Coheed. You know, I've always known about Dropkick Murphys and Dead Kennedys, because I grew up north of Boston. What? But, you know, there are a lot of these other bands, and even some of the classic bands that I didn't know that the songs that I'm playing now were one of their songs. You know, it was a song that I'd heard on the radio growing up, and I knew, but I didn't know who did it. And so it's just a really neat avenue for discovery of music. And I'm really interested to see what happens with the Beatles game. And more importantly, I'm really interested to see how much the Beatles games actually get more parents involved with gaming with their kids. Because it's going to be a really interesting dynamic, because most of the people that are playing Rock Band right now, their parents grew up as fans of the Beatles. So I think that you'll see a lot more interaction, you know, with home game nights with parents singing these songs and knocking them out of the park, and their kids going, Jesus Christ, what the hell? I'm going to hand you the mic of the Thousand Truths right now, since you're obviously bored with what I'm saying.
I'm not bored.
And you can talk about what you're going to talk about.
So, hello, fans and non-fans who might become fans, and friends of fans who will eventually become fans. Hey.
What?
I have decided that I'm going to talk to you guys about a game that I borrowed from someone from the All Games community. He's pretty awesome. I'm really appreciative that he went and lent this to me. I'll be mailing it back to him because this is one of those games that I'm not going to finish.
Right, you don't have to hold on to it pretty long.
No, in fact, it's actually really funny. It's in my Xbox right now, mm-hmm. and I keep looking at it going, I just need to open the tray and put it back in its case, and then I'll never have to deal with it again.
Right.
But I get close to my Xbox, and I'm like, I don't even want to touch it.
That bad,
like,
huh?
It's contaminated my Xbox.
Wow.
And he warned me. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm that kind of person who doesn't mind shelving out $10 to go see a B-movie, because A, I know it's a B-movie, and I'm going because it's bad.
I don't like to shell out money to go see them, like the movie theater, $10, but don't mind doing a rental of a bad movie, because at least it'll be so bad I can laugh at it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
$10 is a bit much, but I'm with you.
But I mean, it's more acceptable to go see a B movie than to buy a B game.
Right.
Where I'm going with this.
Yep, I agree completely.
He warned me that this game was going to be a B game, and I was like, all right. I'm like, it can't be that bad. It really can't.
Oh, no, they can. They can.
And this game is called Enchanted Arms, and it is a Japanese role-playing. Yes, I know. Wait.
Oh, you played Enchanted Arms? Really?
I wanted to see how bad B games get, and let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, of the series of tubes. Now, I'm a fan of role-playing games.
Yes, you are.
And after this, I have to seriously think about if I'm going to keep that love alive. Ooh. Like, this made me think that I need to break up with RPGs.
It's like, it's not me, it's you.
It's you. And I mean it this time. I'm not being nice. So, Let me give you a little bit of a rundown of the time that I've played, because so far I've only put in maybe 3 hours, and I want those 3 hours back. I do. I seriously do. So, if you know the standard RPG, you've got your dumb hero, you've got your clueless healer, and you have the overly smart dorky guy who does something really cool, like guns or something.
Right.
Well, not in this. This takes all the really cool things that I like about Japanese culture, bastardizes it, puts a pink bow on it, throws up on it, and then FedExes it to my house.
Ouch.
You got
FedEx puked on stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't even want to dig through it to get it out.
Okay.
That's how bad this is. All
right.
So, you've got this war that happens a long time ago called the Golem War. And there are these giant statue-type things that are golems that fight. And there are devil golems which have more special powers than regular golems. And, you know, they're the ones that you need to be careful with. But apparently, the human race, or whatever race of human-esque things we are in this game, beat them, and the world has gone on. Magic has left this world, and the only fragment of magic that's still kind of left is called enchanting.
Okay.
So your main character is a guy named Tsuna, and he's a fire enchanter. So all of his enchants deal with fire.
Right.
But apparently, Atsuna's kind of weird. And by weird, I mean he's got this arm that has the power of negation in it. I don't know how he got it. Frankly, I don't really
get it. He bought it down on the Kamuna. With his check from Obama. Sorry.
Maybe. But anyway, I don't care how he got it, but, you know, at this, he goes to this school called Enchanters University in Yokohama City.
Oh my god, I went there too! I was
God
totally
forbid they think of a name besides Enchanters University, because, I don't know, maybe a Florida
Hogwarts.
School graduate Enchanters U.
Oh, Hogwarts!
EU! It should have been EU, because it's in pocket space.
Shake.
Anyway, right. So...
That's the name of the band that did that song.
Anyway.
It was EU. And it was doing the butt.
Ow.
Anyway. Alright, I'm sorry.
So he's that character in most animes who's really dumb, falls asleep in class, and never gets anything right. Or if he gets things right, it's by complete accident.
Okay.
He's got a childhood friend because, yep, I had to go and play that route, who's a very socially accepted and attractive boy named Toya. He's a water/ice enchanter.
Aw, yeah.
He wears blue and he's got black hair and like a little thin, like the little thin ponytail. Very attractive. Guys and girls swoon over him, and he's always hanging out with Natsume, and no one understands why. Because they're brothers. They're homeboys.
Because they're brothers.
Natsume rolls 3D. So the third person who completes this trifecta of suckitude.
The trifecta of suckitude?
Yeah.
Wow, you really did not like this.
The triforce of suckitude. Okay. Like, seriously? It's that bad. The third guy is, and his name is Makoto, but they pronounce things wrong and they call him Makoto.
Makoto!
And he's got blonde hair, and he wears green and pink and yellow, and he shows his abs.
He's got abs.
And he is super gay.
Super gay?
In the beginning of the game, Atsuma falls asleep in class, and he gets woken up because, you know, the boy is trying to wake him up before the evil teacher, who you can definitely tell by the look of him is evil.
Right.
You know, they really don't try to hide it anymore, or at least they didn't in this game.
Right.
And,
I mean, you could see the wafts of black coming off of him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You just can. And afterwards, after class, it's lunchtime, so you have to, you know, guide Atsuma to the cafeteria, because God forbid the mechanics of this game are simple. And you get down there, and Toya and Makoto are like, oh, well, we have lunch, because Makoto packed a lunch, and then Makoto's kind of like, but Toya, I packed you my Super Makoto Love You lunch. And, like, it's this huge giant bento, a four-tier bento box of food with a giant heart on the box.
Oh, so nobody's like, made me a four-tier bento box of love.
Oh, man. You know, and Toya's like, and I'm not sharing any of it with you, Atsuma. Yes! Like, it is...
You're kidding
this guy
me.
Is
Please
so gay.
Please tell me that you're kidding me.
No, he is so uber gay that he could walk the whole parade by himself and people would be entertained. Like, he doesn't need the other gays. He's that gay.
Okay.
So anyway, and if that's not gay enough...
Okay.
We actually go into the turn-based fighting of this game.
And RuPaul shows up.
No.
Oh.
I really kind of wish, because it actually would have probably made this game a little more tolerable. But,
RuPaul should
be
in a video game. I'm just going to say that out loud.
But like I said, you know, Atsuma's fire, so he, shoots fireballs, Toya does ice stuff, and Makoto's the healer, and he has this really weird gay saxophone. And sometimes when he's fighting or he's healing, he's all like, and here we go! And like, and it's super gay. Like, it is the ultra negatude of gay. And I don't have a problem with gay, and I had a problem with this gay. This was way too much gay for one game. Or even for one character. Like, he could have been a classy gay, but they made him the most flamboyantly gay healer ever created.
Flamboyantly gay healer.
Exactly.
He's flamboyantly gay.
And he's so madly in love with Toya. You know, and he hates that, you know, Toya always does what Atsuma wants. Now, I don't think Atsuma is gay.
Uh-huh.
But it's really dumb, so I mean, he could be. but he doesn't come off that way. Neither does Nagoya, but I mean, I guess if there's going to be surprise butt sex, it's probably going to be between those two.
I'm sorry, did you say, I guess if there's going to be surprise butt sex?
It won't really be a surprise, will it? Anyway. anyway, so you know, this whole university, they don't mind keeping Atsuma around, but they have all these seals. And they're like, Atsuma, you can't touch anything with your right hand because you have the power of negation in that hand, and you'll break seals, and shit will blow up. So, you know, Atsuma's kind of sheltered because he really can't do anything. The things that he can do, he fucks up.
Right.
You know, so no one really respects him. Well, he skips class to go to this festival, and some of the golems start going fucky. And he's like, I gotta get back to the university. And there's this giant sealed door in this university where you're not supposed to go. And Atsuma has a dog. And the dog goes running towards the door. So being a dumb fuck, you go towards the door, which opens the door. And you start going down all these stairs. And this is where the first moment of suckitude came in. Because, you know, this is still the beginning of the game where they're trying to teach you the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I played RPGs before, so I kind of know what to do.
Right.
And I'm walking at Suma, and I see this ladder at the far corner of the room. So I'm like, I'm going to run all the way up to that ladder because I need to go up the ladder.
Right.
So as I bring Atsuma up to the ladder, it cuts to a cutscene. And Makoto's like, Atsuma, why did you stop? And he's like, I can't go any further. I don't know how to get up there. Now, mind you, you're staring at a fucking ladder. And Toya goes, you know, because Toya is like the cool, smooth, smart one. You know, he's like, if I recall, there's this thing here called a ladder. And this is how you.
Oh, you're kidding me. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not shitting you. It's like, walk up to it and press the A button. Do you get that, Atsuma? Yeah, I totally get it. Walk up to it, press A. And then I could walk up the ladder. And I said, what the fuck, game? Like, I'm like, what's next? I'm like, I'm going to see stairs and be like, how the fuck do I get down these?
Like, well, I felt like the dumbest thing on the planet. Down.
I mean, I felt dumb. This game makes you feel like a dumb fuck. Because it doesn't let you do anything. Pretty much every command in this fucking game so far has been the A button. I will die the moment that they show me the X button. I'm going to shit a brick. Literally. I'm not going to take a picture of it, but
no,
I will.
Don't shit a brick. First of all, that is not the shape that you want coming out your poop chute.
No. I mean,
you don't want that.
And the voice acting is pretty bad. I mean, it's pretty bad. And, you know, they try to be really cool about, you know, having the avatars up close so you can see them slightly animated through half the dialogue, and then all of a sudden there's no audio at all, which I don't understand. And when they do these little segments, okay. For one, Atsuma always looks like he's angry because he's got angry man brows.
Angry man brow.
Like, seriously, this is one point where he's excited that he's at the festival and they do one of these little mini scenes and he's holding his hand out and he's like, I am so happy. He looks fucking pissed. Like, he's about to take a bite out of Makoto's face. Which, actually, at this point, I would have been all right with because Makoto is a whiny bitch. And at one point, you know, fast forwarding a little bit, when you go down to this cave where the ladder is, where you find out you're a dumb fuck.
Right.
There's a devil golem down there who's made of ice, and, you know, fucking Atsuma touches her. So, of course, the seal breaks off. Now she's ready to destroy the world and does a pretty good job with Yokohama City. And she ends up kidnapping Toya because she likes the way that he looks, and he's ice. He's an ice element, so she can use him. And Toya and Makoto, before he gets killed, quote unquote, because I don't know if he's actually dead, because I'm refusing to play any more of this game.
Okay.
But he pretty much, you know, calls out this devil golem, is like, get your ugly face away from my man. And she summons this giant ice block that squashes him, maybe. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw a giant ice crystal forming above me and start coming at me, I'd move out the way. Back the fuck up! She can't hurl it at you, really. She really didn't. It literally just fell off the ceiling. If he had taken three steps back, he could have lived. But does he do it? No. Because he's a dumb fuck. This game should have been called Enchanted Dumb Fucks. Because everyone in this game is a dumb fuck. And I refuse I refuse to play any more of this game. I just can't do it. And there are these little golems that you get that can fight along with you in your turn base. Now, this is supposed to be like an ancient E type of game. Like, the golems are supposed to be like, you know, rock golems.
Right.
One of the golems that I have managed to create is a maid. As in, blue dress, white apron.
You have a maid hair. Golem?
Yeah. And I have a tiger golem. That doesn't even look like. Yeah. Like, if you've seen Final Fantasy X, you know how Lulu has those little moguls?
Yeah.
They're like those on crack that have been smacked in the face like 15 times and then shoved on spikes.
What the?
For parade.
Okay.
It makes no fucking sense. I'm like, okay, if this was like an ancient-esque, I'm like, if they were like, you know, ancient-looking, this would be cool. But she looks like a fucking Chobit. Like, how am I supposed to take this? I can't take this game seriously. And sorry, I like my RPGs to the point where I want to be able to take them seriously, and I can't. So, after this recording, I'm going to go down to my Xbox. I'm going to get that disease of a game out of my Xbox.
You're going to get that thing right out of your box.
Oh my god. I'm putting it back in its box, and I am first class in this shit. Back to where it came from. I do never want to see this again. Ever. This is the only time I will ever talk about it.
Okay, but how do you really feel about the game?
Oh my god, I love it. No, come on now. Like, seriously, I don't even want to give it one M&M.
Wow.
Because I don't even think it's, like, I mean, I guess if I was stoned and drunk.
And it was the only game left at Blockbuster.
At Best Buy. For like $3.
And you had exactly $3 in your pocket.
If I was in Best Buy and it got held up and someone put a gun to my head and said, look, you can live if you pay for this game.
Be careful with the statement you're about to make.
I'd be like, shoot me in the leg. Cripple my ass. Because I will not buy this game.
Wow.
And then they would shoot me in my leg.
Wow.
Maybe.
No, here's the thing.
I'd rather
go. I mean, if they were gamers, they'd probably be like, much respect. I'm not going to shoot you. Like, I'm going to shoot this douchebag beside you.
Like, if a fairy came down from Gameland and said, look, I was talking to God, and he wants to give you cancer. But he said he will not give you cancer if you buy this game.
Jesus yes. Christ. Don't say that. That is so wrong.
I'm sorry. I am going to say this. If God and a fairy were talking, and this fairy said, look, God wants to give you cancer, but he won't if you play this game and buy it, I'd be like, you know what? Hit me with the cancer.
Oh, my God.
It's like right here.
I can't believe
let's
you
make
just
it
said
an
that.
Interesting one. If I'm going out, I want to be like Ask Cancer or something. I want to go out with a bang.
Oh my god.
Is there even Ask Cancer?
I'm not even going to dignify any of the statement that you just made.
Anyway,
I'm just...
all right, one M&M just because. Fuck the fucking ladder. I was rolling my eyes. I was crying. It was that funny. I was like, I don't even know how to fucking use a ladder. I'm like, how the fuck does it soon as. Shit, I'm like, does Toya come in the bathroom and tell me to use the A button? Like, come on now. It's like, don't forget to shake, you have to hit A twice really fast.
Oh my god.
Like,
that's
I'm kidding.
Right.
Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about it. I can't believe this actually became a game. I'm surprised that they pressed this onto a CD. They could have saved some whales with the money that they spent on making this game.
Okay.
And, right. and Ubisoft is to blame for this.
I think that we got it. I think we got it. Okay.
I'm done.
All right. Well, what you guys ought to do now that we've distilled all of that is hit us up using our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that we've written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can use the Hit Us Up link. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. Our show airs on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com on Monday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can catch our show on the All Games Radio Network, as well as some really entertaining shows like Ultimate Quest,
Super Happy Fun Time Show,
Dead Pixel Live,
Avatar,
Ultimate Quest,
Video Game Outsiders, The Bobby Blackwell Show, and Friday Night Gaming.
There's just so much fun entertainment over there that you gotta check it all out. So with that, I guess I'm gonna have to call this podcast toast.
Yeah.
It's pretty toasty.
Yeah, it's pretty toasty.
What are you gonna do with your toast?
I am going to make my toast of triple bento box lunch of love.
Okay. All right.
And then I'm going to sing to it. I'm going to compose an aria about toast.
Okay.
What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm just going to eat my toast because you're crazy. And
this game makes me crazy. I need medication.
So with that, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Panda Delicious.
And we're out.
Bye.
Toodles.
Right, hold on. Let me get rid of my notes now because I'm not using them anymore.
And anything else that's connected to the interwebs.
Okay.
I don't know how many times I have to say, you can't do anything on the interwebs when we're recording.
All right. That was on the internet.
No, but it will be.
No, you can't. Don't do it. I have to maintain my presence as a woman, and women don't burp on the internet.
Evidently, you haven't been to burpingbitches.com.
No.